Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Eternal Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence tonight. We thank the Lord for another opportunity to worship Thee. We pray, Lord, be pleased to be with us and give us help tonight, Lord, as we would worship Thy great name. Give help in every part. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Can I just at this stage welcome you all along? We're glad to see you here tonight. We welcome you in the Saviour's great name. I'm just going to bring some announcements to you at this stage, and then sit down and let Kyle take over from there on. But let me welcome you all this evening to our choral service. We're glad to see you, and thank you for being with us tonight. To those who have come along to take part, thank you as well for all your help. We much appreciate it. Also, to those who are watching online, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. There is supper for everybody tonight, so we don't want you to be running away. Please stay for supper. There's more than enough for you all tonight. So there's no Explorers Club this Tuesday night. All the other meetings are off this week because of the summer break, the Christmas break, roll on summer. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, we're having a special visit from Pastor Victor Maxwell. As you know, Pastor Maxwell was a colleague of the late Dr. Bill Woods, serving together in Brazil. And he will be along on Tuesday night to tell us a little about the role that they both had together in serving the Lord there in Brazil, and he'll have some pictures as well to show us. So please come along on Tuesday night. We'd love to see you. You're very, very welcome. That's on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Then next Sunday, we have our services. No Sunday school or Bible class. Those are off now for the Christmas season. But we have our morning worship service at 11:30 and our service in the evening time at 6:30 as normal. So please plan to be with us. I know it's Christmas Eve and I know you might be busy, but make sure that you get out to God's house next Sunday both times. And there'll be those taking part in the evening time as well. Do remember the seasons of prayer before each of the meetings. Thank you for your offerings for the missionary work. We had missionary council offering 282, missionary council boxes last week of 400, and bringing that together with the deputation meeting the week before brings a total missionary offering of 3,200 in the last 2 weeks, and we thank you sincerely in the Lord's name. We have our Christmas morning service, 10:15 on Christmas morning. And so we'd love to see you join with us on Christmas morning at 10:15. Then that week, our prayer meeting will be changed to the Thursday night. Instead of the Tuesday night, we'll meet on the Thursday evening at 8 o'clock. Do remember the Missionary Council prayer calendars. They're still available. If you haven't got one, take one with you. And also, the late Dr. Woods's biography by Pastor Maxwell. Books are still available there, and also the notes by the late Dr. Alan Kearns. They're both priced £7, so if you want to take one with you, you can pay at another time. So we're glad to have you this evening, and we welcome you all in the Saviour's name, and we're looking forward to another good time in the house of the Lord tonight. And at this stage, I'm just going to hand over to Kyle, and he will lead the rest of the meeting.
Thank you. As Trevor Wilson has said, you're very welcome. We've got a few things going on tonight. We've a couple of scripture readings some of our congregation are going to do. We're going to have a testimony, and we're going to have lots of singing as well tonight, both for you to do and some guest singers as well. So we're looking forward to all that is in store tonight. The first item we're going to come to before we sing our opening hymn, we're going to have a scripture reading, and Rachel Gilpin, one of our congregation here, is going to come and do that, and that's she's going to read from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Thank you, Rachel.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you, Rachel. And a good place to start tonight, as we have our carol service, a reminder of why we are here and why we are gathered to celebrate that birth of Christ into the world. And as we come to our first hymn as well, again, that is the theme, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. That's number 77 in your hymn book, if you want to follow along, but the words will be on the screen as well. And we'll stand to sing. And that was very good singing to start with. You're off to a good start tonight. Thank you for that. We're going to open our meeting now in prayer. We're going to ask one of our elders, Dines, you put your feet come and open for us now. Thank you.
We're very thankful that we are met in thy presence tonight. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. What a great privilege it is to be able to seek your face and to come with boldness to the throne of grace and the throne of mercy, that place, Lord, where thou doth dwell, the God that dwelleth between the cherubims, the high, the lofty one that inhabitest eternity. We are so glad that it is the return of the Lord's day, and with joy we have come to the house of the Lord. How amiable are thy tabernacles, how lovely are thy dwelling places. We are thankful that we are gathered, Lord, in thy name. Here in thy name we are gathered. Come and bless us, O Lord. Open to us the windows of heaven and pour a blessing upon us. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for your unspeakable gift, for your great love, for not sparing your Son. We thank thee for his obedience to your will, for his obedience unto death. We rejoice as well that the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, that he came into this world to seek and to save sinners. Oh, we are so glad that thou art rich in grace, plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to pardon all our sin. Lord, I thank thee for each one in this house who has tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious and good. We're so glad that our sins, which were many, O Lord, they are all forgiven for Jesus' sake. We ask thee to bless this meeting and all those who have gathered in your name, those who have come to minister in song and to bring your word. We acknowledge, Lord, that without thee we can do nothing, and our sufficiency is of God. We thank thee, Heavenly Father. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We rejoice that the Comforter has come, and we pray for each one that will minister, that they will be anointed with fresh oil, and that they will speak well of Christ, that he will be high and lifted up. Lord, if there is any in this meeting, and they know the good news, but they have not believed on your name, we pray tonight, open their hearts, open their understanding. May the glorious light of the gospel of Christ shine in. May they be converted. May they be born of God. May their names be written in heaven in the Lamb's book of life. We ask thee, Lord, to bless throughout our little province tonight. The enemy, like a flood, has come in, but we are so glad that our eyes are upon thee, looking on to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Lord, we pray, do arise, scatter your enemies, build your church, and do glorify and magnify your name far above all. May the Lord have the preeminence, so come and meet with us here. This is what we long for. We do not, Lord, put our trust in numbers, numerically what we are, but we are looking to thee for thy presence, for thee to fill this house with thy glory, for thee to come to rend the heavens, to come down. O Lord, meet with us, for then we will be glad when we see the Lord in all of his beauty. Hear and answer prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dines. We're going to have some pieces in song now. We're going to have them both together. Well, not together, one after the other. It's good to have Victoria here to sing, Victoria Salt to sing for us tonight. She's been around a little bit more recently in Sandown, but I think this is the first time she's been back since her engagement to sing for us. So it's good to have you here tonight. And we also have Mr. Bowles and Mr. Mander here as well tonight. They used to come separately. It looks like they're on the same line tonight. I don't know if they're are you officially a double act now? Or yeah. So you can work out whether it's Mander and Bowles or Bowles and Mander after. That's up to you. But they're going to come after Victoria's sang as well. I'm just going to let them come up afterwards then. So thank you, Victoria.
From God's heaven to a manger, from great riches to the poor, came the Son of God to seek and save. From the azure halls of heaven to a rough and rugged cross, Jesus came and there his life for all he gave, redeeming love, a love that knows no limits, redeeming love, a love that shall not die. My soul shall sing throughout the endless ages.
Maybe a news that you don't want people to listen to, maybe sensitive ears around, you always get that disclaimer. Well, I'm going to give you my disclaimer this evening. My voice is gone. And the second one is, Reverend Wilson said about a song that I suggested I would sing when I had a voice, and he said to sing it. So I've never sang it, I've never played it. So this is it tonight. But it's good to be here. Good to be with you, Reverend Wilson.
Thank you. It's a great joy for Mander and Bowles accountancy firm to be here tonight. That's what it sounds like, Mander and Bowles. There's another thing that I don't like about tonight. The Reverend Wilson's in the front row. And I'm not used to that. And I don't really like it because he's right there. You know, in a few days' time, Christmas will have been all behind us. And all the news and all the sports people will be doing a thing. They'll be looking back at 2023 and they'll be picking out the biggest story from 2023, the biggest sporting moment, the biggest political moment, the biggest economic moment, all these different moments. Do you know something, friend? When it comes to the message of the gospel, and I think our brother Dines quoted it in his prayer, if I was listening correctly, but Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's still the greatest story that's ever been told.
A woman and an angel, a promise and a song, a word to grant for any mind to form. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. These tell the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear a lowly manger call. And this still the greatest story ever told. Some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the dark. Eternal revelation to men is dumb as stone. These glorious ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. So
just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels that sang for him that day. It's not about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once. You could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the trophies or the treasures that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once. You could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once. You could be born again. It's about the blood that flowed from the tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life today. So that you and I could have new life today. It's about the cross. It's about the cross.
Thank you, Victoria. Thank you to, well, as you've coined it, Mander and Bowles, that way around. Lovely choreography and everything on there. I think Stephen was having a problem keeping in the same shot there, moving on out. But I was, thank you, no, honestly, thank you. Thank you for coming tonight and singing, both of you. And I think we're going to hear from everyone again in just a short time. And that last song that Philip sang there, another reminder that we are here to celebrate this Christmas time, Christ's advent and coming to earth. But we're also here to remember everything that happened after that as well. Without him coming to earth, there could be no cross. Without him dying on the cross, there could be no resurrection and there could be no way of salvation. So that's what we're here tonight, really in the round, to celebrate the life of Christ when he came to earth. So thank you for that reminder as well tonight. We're going to have a testimony now. And one of our congregation, Paula Roberts, is going to come and do that. And as she comes, you know, Paula might let you believe that she's quite timid and shy. I can attest to the fact that during summer camp, at 1:30 in the morning, when the senior boys are given a bit of jip, that the Lord gives Paul a great help to speak with clarity and to speak with power. So I trust that the Lord will help her tonight.
I am very, very nervous, but I am more used to talking to children. So someone gave me advice just to imagine you all as children. So I am going to do that, but I promise I won't go into Mrs. Roberts mode like I do in school or anything like that. I just praise God that I have a testimony to give tonight. Whenever you're asked to talk about what God has done in your life, you just can't say no. And to be honest, I'm not sure that Mr. Wilson probably would have took no for an answer anyway if I tried. My testimony is very much tied up with that of my parents. I was born into a very, very loving home. I am the eldest of four, and I'm also the only girl. So you can just imagine the hardship that I had to endure growing up in a household of boys. I am definitely a daddy's girl, but I have to say that I have the best wee brothers, even though they are a lot taller than me now. Our parents were very hardworking, and they did everything they could to provide for us as a family. And it was a very busy and lively and happy home, but there was one thing missing, and that was God. My parents worked very hard during the week, and during the weekend they enjoyed relaxing with maybe a little drink or two. Sometimes friends would come to socialise, and God and church just wasn't a part of our lives. Although I do remember my mum at night encouraging us to pray before we went to bed. So that was really the only acknowledgement of God in our home. When I was around seven, my dad was wonderfully saved. He had had a very difficult time growing up. He lost his own dad at a very young age and didn't have that guidance. And growing up in the Newton Arch Road area, especially when the trouble started, my dad kind of got sucked into things and was involved in things that he probably shouldn't have. So when he got saved, my mum laughed at him. And she said that she knew exactly what he was like and how bad he had been. And she didn't think he would have been able to keep it and that it wouldn't last. So she watched my dad very closely, and about 6 weeks later, my mum got saved. So everything in my home changed, and we started attending a little church in Bangor, the Church of the Nazarene, and it only just quite a small congregation, and we went along to Sunday school as well, and I was like a sponge. I just sucked in everything, all the lessons. I just loved it. And I saw a huge change in my home. And my parents were completely transformed. And it was one of the things that encouraged me to start thinking about what I was learning in Sunday school. And I started to realise that God is really real. You see, some amazing things began to happen in our home. Now, you see, Dad had worked as a lorry driver, and the company he worked for closed down, so Dad ended up out of work. And Mommy was a stay-at-home mom looking after me and my brothers. So financially, things got very, very difficult. And I know that Mum and Dad tried to protect us from a lot of it, but I knew what was happening in some areas. And there were times that I know that they were worrying about how they were going to put food on the table that day. It was really difficult. But I remember one morning getting up for school, and in the hall there was an envelope. And just on the envelope, it was the words written, "From God." And inside the envelope was money. And it was enough money for groceries for the week and to help pay some of the bills that needed to be paid. We also would have received deliveries. One day the coal man came and put coal into our bunker. Mum panicked because she hadn't ordered it and we couldn't pay for it. So she went out to tell him to take it back, and he told her no, not to worry, that it had already been paid for. We didn't know who that was. We had deliveries of meat coming to the house from the local butchers that, again, we didn't order, we couldn't pay for. We never knew where this came from. And I remember asking my dad about it. And my dad has a very simple faith. And all he said to me was that God was providing for our family. And I can tell you so many times over that period where God provided for our wee family. And it would take me a long time to tell you, but it really spoke to me and it really challenged my young heart. And one Sunday morning we went to church, and the minister was speaking about heaven. And I don't really remember everything about the sermon, but one thing that stood out very clear to me was that there is no sin allowed in heaven. And I had been learning in Sunday school that we are all born in sin. And I knew that I was a sinner. And I knew that I wouldn't be in heaven. So as I went home that day, I was thinking about everything that I'd learned that day and all the things that had been happening in our home. And I had a lot of questions for my dad. But he was a very young Christian himself, and he probably felt that he needed a little bit of help. So we left early that night for church so that we could speak to the minister. And he very patiently answered all my questions. And he did have a few of his own questions for me, just to check my level of understanding. And that night, at the age of 8 years old, I asked the Lord to forgive me for my sins, to come into my heart and to be my saviour. And I just remember being so excited and so happy and just wanting to tell everybody. One thing that Dad encouraged us was on the importance of spending time with God and spending time in prayer and reading our Bible. And I'm really thankful for this because this gave me such a great grounding in my life. And I'm also thankful for having a mum who prayed faithfully for me and my brothers. I just wanted to know more and more about God. So I attended Sunday school and every children's meeting, holiday Bible club, scripture union, Christian endeavour that I could. I think I was out probably every night of the week. I was never in. And I was the child that sat at the front whose hands shot up, tried to be first to answer the questions. And I loved learning the Bible verses. And I am very thankful to the godly men and women who took the time to teach me and to encourage me. And I just want to say to anyone tonight who is a children's worker, a youth worker, or even a camp worker, you might not know the impact or the influence that you have on those children and young people. You are such a blessing and such an encouragement to them, and God is using you in such a mighty, mighty way. And I ask you all to pray for our young people and our children because the world is such a really difficult place for them. As I said, I loved learning God's word, and one of the very first verses that I learned was one that I've carried with me in my heart all my life, and it's a very special verse I know to quite a lot of people, and it was Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and it is, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And I really wanted to serve the Lord. And one of those ways was that my dad used to go around the churches singing, and I went too. And yes, I did sing, and no, I don't do it anymore because I would clear the church. But I really enjoyed that, and I loved going around and meeting other Christians, and it was such an encouragement. But little did I know at the age of 12 that I would actually, during one of those meetings, meet my future mother-in-law and father-in-law, Roddy and Emma. We were in Belfast and we were there that night, and the buses were on strike and Roddy and Emma took us home. So little did I know at the age of 12 I was going to be marrying into that family. I really felt the Lord's leading as I grew. And when I came to decide what I wanted to do after I finished school, I enrolled and entered Belfast Bible College. And I studied theology for 3 years. And I got a real good grounding in God's word there. And God really blessed my time there among other people who were wanting to serve God too. And I studied many, many interesting subjects like missions, child evangelism, Old Testament and New Testament theology, studied Greek. Hebrew was just too much. I think I lasted one lesson and I just gave up. I couldn't. I didn't really know what God wanted me to do. And at the time to leave, I did apply for many various roles in different organizations to see where God wanted me. But you know, God always has his own plan, and it's maybe not the way we think it should happen. And it didn't happen at that time, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And I ended up in secular employment, and I went on and carried on working. And I was heavily involved in the work of the church, involved in the Sunday school, children's meeting, the uniformed organisation that we were in at the time, and the youth fellowship. And we had moved to Belfast, and we were worshipping in Glenmore Street Church of the Nazarene. And that's where I met and married my best friend. Now, I have to say, I married the shy, quiet Robert's brother. but I am very thankful for Stephen's family, for Paul and Celia, and for the godly aunts and uncles who, along with my own family, not only supported us in our marriage, but also encouraged us and supported us in our faith. And the Lord blessed us with two amazing children, Joshua and Hannah, and they'll be glad I'm not going to embarrass them. And the Roberts family is growing. This year we welcomed our beautiful daughter-in-law, Anna, into our family, and we just love her. And also Joshua and Anna are blessing us the next year with our first grandchild in June, so that's a whole new adventure and very exciting. We actually joined Sandown Free Presbyterian when Hannah was just a baby. We felt the Lord was leading us away from the Nazarene, and we felt the first Sunday that we came here as a family that this was home. And we really have felt the Lord's blessing on us as a family from the moment we came here. And we class the Sandown Church as our family, our spiritual family. And we're just so thankful for each and every one of you. Stephen works with his big brother in Every Home Crusade, and that has been a blessing too. Just watching how the Lord is reaching so many different countries with God's word. And it's exciting that Stephen is a part of it. I work as a one-to-one special needs assistant in a little school called Euston Street Primary School, Jim. and it has been called the Diamond in the East. And I have to say, although I probably am biased, but it is very, very true. It is an inner city school with a lot of challenges. And we have a lot of children who come through our doors with a lot of difficulties. They come from difficult backgrounds, probably very chaotic homes, and lots of difficulties going on in their young lives. We also have children from many different cultures and countries from across the world, including Africa, Asia, and Eastern Europe. But I just absolutely love my job, and the children I work with are just amazing. And I feel that the Lord has placed me there, and his plans and his timing is perfect. And it is an absolute privilege to work alongside other Christians within the staff. And I'm so thankful because some of these girls have become very close friends, and we support and encourage each other, and we pray together, and we pray for each other. God has given us many opportunities to not only talk to the children, but also to share with staff members who aren't saved. And it has been a privilege to be able to spend time in prayer for them as well. I would value your prayers for our little school at the minute. I know some of you on a Tuesday night have been asked to pray for a little family. One of the teachers, her little girl, Anna, is critically ill. And there's nothing really much more that the medical staff can do for us. So it's a very difficult time for our wee community. And I would ask you to pray for the school, for the Christian staff, so that we can be a source of help and support, but also that God would be glorified in this very difficult circumstance. A lot of you know that the Christian life isn't easy. And yes, there are mountaintop experiences and we receive blessings from God, but sometimes we also have to go through the valley. And our family has been through quite a lot. We have faced bereavements, illness, difficult diagnosis, heartache and loss. And for me personally, I would struggle with my mental health. And it's not easy to talk about. And it's not easy to understand unless you've been there yourself. And I have learned the real hard way that I can't deal with it on my own. When I try, it's not good. And like the psalmist, I have had to learn to cry out to God and cry, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, the devil will try and make us doubt, and he will tell us lies. And for me, one of those is that I'm not strong in my faith, or that I'm not a good Christian, or that I'm letting God down. But I'm so thankful for a verse that I've carried in my heart that the Lord has given me. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And it says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This year, I was also diagnosed with a degenerative condition, which means that in time I might lose my sight. And this has caused a bit of anxiety. But do you know what? God has proved his promises time and time again. And I'm learning to live day by day. And I am also learning to hand all my anxieties to him. I do fail, but I am so thankful that God loves me so much. I am his, and my life is in his hands. And I want to bring you back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not onto our own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to say to you tonight, if you are here and you're maybe not walking with God the way that you used to, and you're not maybe living the way that you should, I just want to encourage you to come back to him, because he loves you so much and he wants to renew fellowship with you. And if you are not saved, what greater gift can you receive this Christmas than the gift of salvation? And you too can know perfect peace and joy that comes through the Lord Jesus. And this would be the best Christmas ever if you just gave your life over to him. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula. What a powerful testimony of not only, in spite of everything that's gone on in our lives, as Paula has testified to, we have a God who saves, a God who helps and provides, and a God who keeps through everything. And it's really been an encouragement to me, and I hope it's been an encouragement to you as well. And so thank you, Paula, for that tonight. And there will be a spot up here if you want later on, if you want to join in with the rest singing. We're going to sing our second hymn tonight, hymn number 79, if you're following in your hymn books. O Come, All Ye Faithful. And we'll again just stand to sing as we sing this hymn tonight. It's hard to beat a good Christmas carol, isn't it? That was really well sung. Thank you for singing so well on that one. And we're going to have Victoria again to come and sing to us, and then Philip and Peter, please, after. Thank you.
Well, I'm really not one for speaking, but I hope you'll bear with me for a few words. I found out that Mr. Wilson's title this evening was Christmas Without Christ, and I thought about this song, and it's simply entitled that Christmas isn't Christmas until it happens in your heart. Somewhere deep inside you is where Christmas really starts, so give your heart to Jesus. You'll discover when you do that Christmas is really Christmas for you. And I trust that you'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior this Christmas time. Christmas isn't Christmas. Christmas isn't Christmas till it happens in your heart. Somewhere deep inside you is where Christmas really starts. So give your heart to Jesus. You'll Christmas is Christmas for you. Jesus brings warmth like a winter's fire, a light like a candle's glow. He's waiting now to come inside like he did. Brings gifts of truth and life and makes them bloom and grow. So welcome him with a song of joy, and when he comes, you'll know that Christmas isn't Christmas till it happens in your heart. Somewhere deep inside you is where Christmas really starts. So give your heart to Jesus. You'll discover when you do that Christmas is Christmas. Oh, that Christmas is really Christmas for you.
Oh, how I love him. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight. God gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine,
I will.
Thank you to Victoria, to Peter, Peter and to Philip. Yeah. Almost got you mixed up again. Thank you all of you for coming tonight and for those pieces and song that you sang. We're going to have a final Bible reading now, and Dorothy Kennedy is going to come and do that for us. And then following that, Reverend Wilson is going to come and bring a message to us tonight. Thank you.
Our Bible reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen.
Thank you, Dorothy.
I want you to keep your Bible open, please, at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. I want to thank all those who have taken part this evening. You've certainly been blessed, and we've known the Lord's presence tonight. And the Lord has given help to all who have taken part, so to each and to all, thank you so much for your help this evening in our choral service. Little line at the end of verse number 7 there in Luke's Gospel 2. It says, because there was no room for them in the inn. Because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to consider, as we bring this choral service to a conclusion tonight, the subject, Christmas without Christ. Christmas without Christ. Let's just come to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for his help as we come to his word just now. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for a real sense of thy presence tonight. We, Lord, thank thee for help given to each and to all who have taken part. We ask, O God, that you be pleased to, Lord, bless their part that they have played in this choral service tonight. Encourage them each, we pray. Lord, we pray now that as we come to the word of God, we ask, O God, for that very special help. Lord, that help which only thou canst give. Lord, give us help tonight. Lord, I need thee. Come, O God, we pray, fill us with the Holy Ghost, fill us with power. Give us help to preach, Lord, as we ought to preach. And Lord, give us all help to hear, Lord, as we ought to hear tonight. And Lord, we pray that everything will be to the glory and to the honour of thy name. Lord, especially, Lord, tonight for any who gather with us or listening online, Lord, as yet they're strangers to the grace of God. They do not know Christ as their Saviour. Lord, they have come to another Christmas time and yet they do not have Christ. O God, we pray that even this night, Lord, that you'll open their hearts, and Lord, that you'll save their precious souls. Lord, do that tonight. Give us help, we pray now, and Lord, we pray that everything will go to the glory and to the honour of the name of our Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. So it's just a week, almost now, to go until the big day, and you've either got the shopping all finished, or perhaps you're like some of the rest of us, you're hoping to get it started and finished in this incoming week. It's very hectic, it's a busy time, people running about, as they say, like headless chickens, trying to get everything ready for the big day on Christmas Day, just to make sure that you haven't forgotten something. Because Christmas Day is one of those days in the year that you don't want to forget something, because there isn't really much chance of running out to the shops and getting it. But no matter how hard you try, and no matter how many lists you make, you always seem to end up forgetting something. Maybe it's the batteries for the new toy, or maybe it's you've run out of kitchen foil for the big turkey, or maybe it's the clothes for the gammon joint. You've just forgotten that. It's not really all that important, but because it's Christmas Day and you've forgotten it, it's a big thing, because you just want everything to be right. But the reality is that no matter how hard we try, and no matter how much we try to make every arrangement right, we'll always end up missing something or being without something on Christmas Day. There will be things that we will be without on Christmas Day. But not only will there be things that we will be without on Christmas Day, the reality is as well that there will be people that we will be without on Christmas Day. And while Christmas is a family time, a time of family and friends meeting together, yet there will always be that empty chair at Christmas time, as loved ones no longer with us, and we will be without their presence at Christmas. Yet I want us to think tonight about what it would be like if we had Christmas not without things, not without family, but Christmas without Christ. What it would be if we had Christmas, but we had no Christ. You see, today's society, they want everything of Christmas, but they don't want Christ. They want the tinsel of Christmas, but they don't want the truth of Christmas. Yet what would this season of the year be, in fact every season of the year be, if there was no Christ? If Christ had not come in human form into this world, what would it be if Christ didn't come? What would it be tonight if we had Christmas and all the eating and all the feasting and all the partying? What would it be if we had no Christ? I want us, as we bring this carol service to a close this evening, suggest to you three things that Christmas would be without Christ. First of all, Christmas without Christ would mean that our song would be meaningless. Christmas without Christ would mean that our song would be meaningless. Christmas, of course, is that time of the year when we hear lots of songs and lots of carols that are really only sung at this time of the year. Now, I'm sure you would have your own particular Christmas song. I'll not tell you what mine is, because I would probably be brought up in front of presbytery and I'd probably get my P45. But you maybe have your favourite Christmas carol as well. And for me personally, there's no greater Christmas carol than Wesley's great, magnificent carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's a carol full of the truth of Christmas. God and sinners reconciled, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate Deity. What awesome words there are in that carol. A carol that is so full of Christ. A carol that is full of the adoration and the admiration of the one who came in human flesh, the blessed God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, if Christmas today was all about the festivities and all about the feasting and not about the Savior, then our song would be meaningless. In fact, if Christ is left out of Christmas, then we have no song worth singing. We have nothing to sing about. You think about that first Christmas carol that we looked at a few Lord's Day evenings ago, We have it here recorded for us in the words that Dorothy read from in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. What a song it was. A song that shook the night sky over Bethlehem. A song that shook the shepherds on the fields that night. A song that engaged the heavenly host of angels as they announced the birth of Christ. As they sang to the shepherds that night, the theme of their singing, what was it in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and the verse 11? For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Here are the angels declaring the first message to the shepherds, a message based on Christ. It was a message that caused the whole heavenly host to join that single angel and declare glory to God in the highest. Why? Because they were singing about Christ. The melody of this song, the theme of this song is Christ. You look in verse number 11 there, Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Look at the three names that are given to the Savior. He's given the name of Savior. He is the Savior. He is the one who came to save. You see as well that he is called the Christ. He is the anointed one, the appointed one. He is the Messiah, the long promised Savior. And he is also referred to in verse 11 as the Lord, the babe in the manger. The one who came into this world was the Lord of Lords. As Mr. Spurgeon said, the infinite became the infant babe. Yet his lordship was veiled in human flesh, but he didn't stop being Lord of all over all. But the theme of their singing that night was Christ. Christ was the theme of their song. And they're singing here at his first coming. And when he comes again, there'll be more singing. And you know what, folks? When we get to heaven, each one that's saved, we will sing the praise of Christ for all eternity. The song of the church, triumphant, glorified, right now in heaven. What is it? It's all about Christ. Worthy the Lamb that was slain. What a song. A song that even the holy angels cannot sing. You know, I was thinking this week, some Christians, they don't like too much music. And they don't like too much singing or praising the Lord. They don't want it to be too loud. Nice and soft. And let's, folks in heaven, we'll be singing as loud as our voices will allow us to sing. Why should we not sing of Christ loudly? Why should we not boast of our song being of Christ? Because that song in heaven, it'll be triumphant. It will be thunderous. What a volume of song right now is being sung in heaven. Because in heaven, we will not be able to do anything else but sing of the glories of Christ. And if our worship here on earth is to be a reflection of our worship in heaven, then we should sing perhaps a little louder and a little better. Because of Christ coming into this world, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Yet if Christ never came, our song would be meaningless. We've listened to the best of singing tonight. We really have. But if Christ didn't come, all that Victoria or Peter or Philip sang about, all that the carols that we were singing this evening and have been singing, they would be meaningless if Christ didn't come. If there was Christmas and there was no Christ. I wonder this evening as you sit in this carol service, we're glad to see you. We want to thank you for coming. But do you have this song in your heart tonight? Tonight, can you sing about the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world? Oh, you can enjoy the festivities. You can enjoy all that's going on at this time of the year. But do you know Christ as your Savior? He came to save you. If you don't have Christ tonight in your heart, as Victoria was singing, you've got nothing to sing about. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, if the reality of Christ has not been made real to you in salvation, then you have nothing to sing about, because you have no future, you have no prospect. But this evening, if you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you will have a song worth singing. You might be a bit like me and not be able to sing all that very well. That doesn't matter. When you've got Christ in your heart, you've got something to sing about. If Christ didn't come, Christmas without Christ, our song would be meaningless. But something else I want us to notice tonight, not only if we had a Christmas without Christ would our song be meaningless, but I want you to notice secondly that our society would be hopeless. Surely tonight we live in a society which believes there's no hope. We don't have to go too far to understand, to appreciate that, to see that. Young people, older people, and they believe tonight, and at this Christmas time especially, that there's no hope. Many broken, many troubled lives tonight. Suicides are rampant, sadly. Drug and alcohol addiction is commonplace. And so many people turn to this world to try to find hope, to try to find the remedy, to try to find help. But there is no help in this world. This society wants to remove Christ from every part of society, and as a result, they have created a society that is entirely hopeless and meaningless. Many hearts are filled with fear and dread tonight. There were hearts filled with fear and dread that first Christmas night. When the angel came to the shepherds, they were fearful. In verse 10, we read, the angel said unto them, "Fear not." They were filled with fear. But because Christ had come, there was hope. Because in verse 14, we read those words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Peace. Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, the one who came to bring peace between God and the sinner, the one who came to reconcile a sinful world to a holy God. What a message of hope tonight that we have. And yet without Christ we have no message. Sadly, many tonight will turn and neglect the message of Christ. Oh, they want the celebrations, but they don't want Christ. Is that you? You want to enjoy this season, but you don't want Christ. And as a result, you live in hopelessness and you live in despair. Christ comes to bring hope to hopeless situations. He comes to bring hope to hopeless sinners. He comes to bring hope to a hopeless society. Sinner tonight, because Christ came, he came to bring hope. The angel sang there in verse 14 about the goodwill toward men. We looked at that a few weeks ago. It means God's good favor, God's good pleasure. How do we see God's good favor toward this world? In sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Christ, who is full of grace and full of truth. Christ is God's goodwill to sinful man. Christ tonight is your hope. Christ is what you need. He's who you need. He's all you need. He came to bring hope. He came to bring joy. He came to bring peace. And tonight, don't turn away from him. Don't reject him tonight. Don't turn your face away from the one who came to bring hope, who came to bring peace to this troubled world. He's the only one tonight who can forgive your sin. He's the only one tonight who can bring peace to your troubled heart and mind. Maybe you've been trying all the things of this world and haven't worked. And they won't work. But my friend, you turn to Christ tonight, you'll not be disappointed. He'll not turn you away. I'm not saying that your life will be sweet and all filled with ease. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying tonight that if you turn to Jesus Christ through every storm of life that you have to face, as Paula was telling us about, and through every trial that you have to go through, you'll have a peace this world cannot give and a peace this world cannot take away. Oh, don't reject him tonight, but rather turn to him. Come tonight to Jesus Christ. Christmas without Christ, our song would be meaningless. Christmas without Christ, our society would be hopeless. But finally, Christmas without Christ, our salvation would be groundless. You see, you take Christ out of Christmas, you don't have anything to celebrate. You take the Savior out of salvation, you don't have anything to regenerate. Only Christ can save the sinner. And why did he come? He came to save us. We said in the past, he didn't come to give us a day or two off work. He didn't come to give us a time to spend with family. He didn't come that we might eat turkey and ham all the month of December. He came to save our soul. And if he hadn't come, there would be no salvation. Christ had to come to this earth, take the form of man, become as we are, that we might become as he is, the Son of God. This world has countless religions, countless numbers of faiths and cults, yet none of them are able to meet the greatest need of the sinful soul, and that is salvation from sin. You see, tonight you don't need better plans for your lives. You don't need a better program for your life. You need someone who can remove the guilt and stain of sin from your life. And that someone, that person, is Jesus Christ. He came to save. That's why God sent his Son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. People say that God could have just saved us as he was in heaven. Never would have worked. Because when you think about the justice and the wrath of God, his justice demanded payment. His justice, his wrath had to be satisfied. And in order for that wrath to be satisfied, he had to send his Son to be a perfect sacrifice for our sin. No other could take away our sin but Jesus Christ. That's why he came. As we heard tonight, it's all about the cross. Because Christ came from heaven to a manger in Bethlehem to live a perfect life and then to go to the cross of Calvary and there to die an atoning death for us. Why? That we might be saved. There was no other way but Calvary. And for there to be a Calvary, there had to be a Bethlehem. Christ came to save. Someone has said, I'm not exactly sure who this quote originally came from, but you will know what I'm sure. They said that if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. And if our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. And his name is Jesus. That's why he came. To meet the greatest need of our heart. Because there is no salvation outside of Christ. There is no other Savior tonight apart from Christ. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, you can't be saved apart from Christ. That's why Christ came. To bring salvation. He came to Bethlehem to go to Calvary to bring salvation. Because there is no other way to God apart from him. Did he not say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He brought salvation. But tonight he is salvation. He is your Savior. He is your only Savior. And as we sing, and as we celebrate in this choral service tonight, would you not come to Christ? Would you not come to know him, whom to know is life eternal? Would you not come to the Savior tonight? Will you not give your heart and life to him tonight? He will give you true peace, real peace, lasting peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. You can know his peace tonight by coming to know him. Christmas without Christ, our song would be meaningless. Christmas without Christ, our society would be hopeless. Christmas without Christ, our salvation would be groundless. But thank God tonight he came. And we have something to sing about. Thank God tonight he came. And our society can know hope tonight. And thank God he came that we might know salvation. Will you celebrate another Christmas and yet reject the Christ who came? Will you celebrate another time of all the season brings and yet reject the one who came to bring salvation? Oh, that you would come to him tonight. That you would know Christmas within your heart. That you would give your heart, your life to him. That tonight you'd be saved. You would receive the greatest gift, even as we heard this morning, the greatest gift. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He offers that to you tonight, if you will but come.